So we're learning the Gemara Daf Mem Dalet. We went quite quickly yesterday because it's a Gemara of Agoda, and we'll try and do the same again today. Not Chas v'Sholom that it's less important, but we do spend less time on the Agadeic Gemaras than we do on the Halachic Gemaras. So we saw last time, yesterday, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua. It's on the fourth and the fifth bottom line of the Gemara. Kum lech, kum loch. As it were, Yeshua ben Nun was considered to be partially to blame for the whole tragedy in the city of Ai. And Yeshua ben Nun is considered part responsible. Why is he considered part responsible? So initially, the Gemara said because he did not erect the stones in the place he was supposed to. The Gemara rejected that. And finally, the Gemara said that no, the reason why he was partly responsible is because he was the one who insisted that when they plundered Yericho, that all of the booty is put into Cheirem and nobody's allowed to have benefit from it. Well, that meant that when Ochon then took from the booty, he was over in Aveira and that brought about tragedy. Well, that was all brought about only because Yeshua ben Nun decided on his own volition to put the booty of Yericho in Cheirem in the first place. So look at the fourth bottom line. That's where we're up to in the Gemara, the fourth bottom line. Omale, so he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, Ato Goramto. Ato Goramto, you have caused Lohem, Vahainu de Omar Le Ba'ai. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him in Ba'ai. Va'asiso la'ai ulamalko kasher. Right, so we'll stop there. Look at Rashi. Rashi is about 15 lines from the bottom. Ato goramto lohem. You're the one who caused it. Shaloi hoyolachol le'esoyer aleihem, because you should not have forbidden bizas Yerichoi, the booty of Yerichoi. So it's only because you put it out of bounds, you put it in Cheirem, that now triggered the whole Aveira on the part of Ochon. V'hainu d'komar luhu ba'ai, rak shlola ubehemto tovoizu, shaloi tachrimeim oid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really told him, after that, do not put anything else into Cheirem. We don't want to trigger the Aveira again. Okay, we move on now. We're now on the third bottom line. Very, very famous Gemara, very important Gemara, we'll see. With very important ramifications. Vayehi biyois Yeshua biyerichai. When Yeshua was in Yerichai, vayiso einov, and he lift up his eyes, vayar, and he saw, etc. What did he see? He saw a malach. Vayomer loy ki ani sar tzvo Hashem, because Yeshua actually asked him, well, who are you? Are you with us? Are you against us? Are you the enemy? He said, I'm neither. I'm actually a malach. That's been sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani sar tzva Hashem, ato bosi, I have come now. What does that mean, I have come now? We'll soon see what is to be learned from those words, I have come now, ato bosi. Vayipoil Yeshua el ponov, and Yeshua bowed down on his face, aretzo, all the way down to the ground, vayishtachu, and he bowed down. That is all a quote of a pasuk. Says the Gemara, Heichi Ovid Hochi, how indeed did he do that? V'ha'omer Rabbi Yochanan, but surely Rabbi Yochanan said, Osur loy la'odom sheyitein sholem l'chaveira balaylo. A person is not supposed to greet somebody else balaylo. Why not? Cheshinon shemo sheid hu. Because at night, apparently this is the time when shadim circulate in the street. And if you say shalom to somebody, you're not supposed to say shalom to a shade, to a demon. So how could Yeshua have said to him, shalom, you're not supposed to greet? Have a look at Rashi. Even though it doesn't say specifically that Yeshua actually said shalom, but the truth is he did even worse than that, he bowed down. Look at Rashi, towards the bottom, the second bottom Rashi. balailo. How did Yeshua allow himself to bow down to somebody else balailo? The kiven de omar lonu, because he said to him, halonu ato im letzareinu. He said, Yeshua initially said to him, this is the pasuk that the Gemara did not quote, but the very famous pasuk. Yeshua said to him, who are you? Are you a friend or a foe? Now, why did Yeshua not recognize him? It must have been dark. Michlal delailahu, it must have been night. Di'ibi yamama, because had it only been day, v'chiloi hoyo makir, would he not have recognized being sorry Yisrael, or sorry Umay Sa'ilam, to a minister, a god or a prince of Klal Yisrael or that of the Goyim? How come Yeshua ben Nun didn't recognize? It must be the reason why he didn't recognize was because it was dark. If that's the case, how is he allowed to bow down to him? Shemo Shade Hu Ve'ein Moitzin Shem Shomayim Al Amazik. You're not allowed to enunciate the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the presence of a mazik, an evil force like a shade. V'shalom is a shem shemayim hu shenema v'yikra Hashem Hashem shalim. V'kol shekein she'in mishtachave. All the more so one is not allowed to bow down. D'doyme k'mishtachave l'se'irim, like bowing down to also some evil force. So how was it that Yeshua allowed himself to bow down when it must have been night, as we just said before, and had it's because it's night, it could be a shade. Answers the Gemara on the bottom line, Shani Hosam. Over there was different. The Ka'omar Le, because he said, Ani Sar Tzvo Hashem Atobasi, because he clearly introduced himself as a Malach. So to initiate a greeting, you can't do that because you don't know who the person is. It's dark. It could be a shade. And you're not supposed to say the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Certainly not supposed to bow down if it's an evil force. But here, the Malach had already introduced himself. Says the Gemara, V'dilma Meshakri, but maybe he was lying. So how did he know that this Malach was indeed a Malach of Hashem? Maybe he was lying and he wasn't really, and maybe he was really a shade. Says, no, it can't be, because Gemiri, D'loi Mafki Shem Shemayim Levatolo. He could clearly see that it was some spiritual being. What was the Gemara's question? But how do you know whether it was really a malach or maybe it was a shade? Well, then he would not have allowed himself to say the name of Hashem. It says, Ani Sar Tzvo Hashem. So if this malach said the shame of Hashem, that would never be allowed to be done, even if it would be a shade. And therefore, that was the biggest proof that it was not a shade, and it must therefore have been a malach. Okay, we're on the top line now. Omale. So this is now the very famous piece of Gemara. Let's see what exactly was the criticism of the Malach against Yeshua. Omale said to him, Emesh, yesterday, Bitaltem Tomid Shalbeinu Arbaim. Yesterday, you were Mevatel, the Korban Tomid. As we know, there are two Korbanos, one in the morning, Tomid Shal Shacha. There's also the Tomid Shalbeinu Arbaim. And you were Mevatel it. That's what happened yesterday. Va'achsho bitaltem Talmud Torah. And now you have been mevatel Talmud Torah. What does that mean? Says, look at Rashi. Remember we quoted the words before, that the Malach says, Ato bosi, I'm coming now. What does that mean? The Malach said he's coming now. If he came now, he came now. What do you mean I'm coming now? So the words I'm coming now clearly seem to indicate, as Rashi is about to explain, that I could have come earlier. I'm coming now, but actually I could have come earlier. There was something that needed to be pointed out earlier as well. Says Rashi, the top Rashi. The Rashi, by the way, is on the right-hand side. There's two columns of Rashi on this Amud. There's no Tosfos. Omar le, Emesh bitaltem, ato bosi. The fact that he said, ato bosi, I'm coming now, doroshinon, that's what we make a drasha from. Midaka omar le, because he said, quote unquote, ato bosi, I'm coming now. Michlal, the clear indication is, de milsa achriti omar le. Well, clearly he's coming to tell him something else. I'm coming now, meaning in addition to something else. That's why atobosi. That's what he's saying. I'm coming now in addition to another occasion that it could have come, as we're about to see. What does the word emesh mean? Emesh means hayoim. Kesheherev beinu arbaim, kori lami le emesh. Ein ze eloshen arvis, this evening. So, what was the criticism? So, look at Rashi. Va'achshav bitaltem Talmud Torah. So, emesh means this evening. So, this evening, the Talmud Shel Beinu Arba'im should have been brought. Apparently, it wasn't. And Yeshua ben Nun, as the leader of Klal Yisrael, was held responsible for that. Number one. Number two, there was another criticism because of his involvement to the war against Yericho. What happened to little Talmud Torah? Says Rashi, "V'achshav bitaltem Talmud Torah." V'kiven d'beyoyim, because during the daytime, i'atem yecholim lasik b'Torah, it is impossible for you to be involved in Torah. Machmas, because of iskei milchamois, because of your war activities. Therefore, tzrichim atem lasik b'Torah b'layla. So therefore, the criticism of Yeshua was, during the daytime, obviously, as we know, they did not have any lights at night. So layla is not a zman of milchama, but daytime is. So the fact that you are not learning Torah during the day, I can understand, because you are preoccupied with the war. But you should have been learning Torah at night. V'hoya lecha, you should have been oisik b'tir b'layla. You should have resided in Gilgal. That's where the machane of Yisrael is, and not b'motzer, not there in sieging Yericho. So Klal Yisrael were besieging Yericho. The main war efforts were during the day. But why was Yeshua at night still stationed at the siege? He should have gone back to the camp and should have allowed himself to be involved in Torah. So the Malach seems to be pointing out two criticisms. Number one, this evening the Talmid Shel Beinu Arba'im was not brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, night is the time you should have been learning and you are not. So the Gemara says, look back into the Gemara. The end of the second line. Al eze mehen basa. So if the Malach is pointing out that there's two criticisms, which particular one, or maybe both, which is the one you're coming now specifically to point out? Omale ata basi. I'm coming for now. What's now? Like we said before. If you say I'm coming now, it means essentially I could have come before as well. I could have come before as well. So if he says ato bosi, what was ato? Remember, now it's night. Night is not a time to bring the Talmud Shel Beinu Arba'im. It's too late. So clearly, what was his main reason, therefore, for coming? I'm coming for reasons that pertain to now, i.e., for the fact that you're not learning. That was the criticism. Says the Gemara, Amalei Atobasi is miyad. So how did he react to that? Yeshua understood that a criticism was being leveled against him for not learning Torah. Is miyad vayolen Yeshua balaylo hahu betoicho. Literal translation, and Yeshua lodged that night in the valley. But the Gemara makes the famous drasha. Omar. Romar Rabbi Yochanan melamed shelon b'umka shel halacha. That's what it means. The word emek, which is a valley or a depth, means it's a reference that he learned b'iyun b'umka shel halacha, in the depths of learning. So he took the criticism, and he understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to him via the Malach that yes, you really now should be learning Torah and you're not. So immediately he delved into Torah. But umka shel halacha. Have a look at Rashi. Ato bosi. Al shame achshav bosi, or al shel achshav bosi. The main reason I'm coming is for reasons that pertain to now. Lipora, to seek retribution, to sort things out. Is miyad nizar Yeshua. So immediately Yeshua was careful, understood that he should not be stationed where he is. V'loy hoisif oid lavoy b'matzor. And he did not therefore continue the siege at night. He was not involved. Lekach lemar ba'ai vayolen Yeshua balayla hahu b'toicho emek, which means shalom, that he lodged, he resided b'umka shel Torah. Now, this Rabbeisai is extremely, it's a very famous piece of Gemara. It's a very famous piece of Gemara, but it's a very, very important in reference to the times that we live in now. We've all heard of the great Reb Chaim Moshe Grudzinski, who passed away during the Second World War. And he's famous, of course, for his sefer, the Achiezer. The Achiezer. Achiezer is, of course, a play on words, as it were, Reb Chaim Moshe. Reb Chaim Moshe. So he printed his sefer. It's various volumes. I'm just trying now to find a quote. And one of the volumes that he put out was, in fact, during the Second World War. He himself was extremely busy with all the war efforts, as it were. I'm just trying to find a quote. One second. So Reb Chaim Moshe was very, very busy. He was in Lithuania and he printed one of the volumes, not all of the volumes, one of the volumes of Achiezer he printed during the Second World War. Now, he writes in the introduction that you might think this is a very strange time to produce a sefer. He says, and his lashon is absolutely beautiful, Klal Yisrael are drowning in a sea of tears. And I'm here busy writing a sefer. Is this the time to write a sefer? So he writes, absolutely. It's dafka at a time when Klal Yisrael are fighting in a zman of milchama. This is the time in order to be mechazik limud Torah. That's what he writes. But fascinatingly, almost the same principle appears in the Hakdama of a sefer called Even HaOzel, which is Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer wrote a Pirush to the Rambam, and the volume that discusses Kodshim, the halachas of Karbonos, again, was published during the war. So he writes there, also like in similar vein, he writes, this sefer was completed at the time that Europe was going up in flames, in Poland, in Lithuania, etc., etc. You might ask the question, is this the time to publish a sefer, a Pirush to the Rambam? And he writes, Be'emes ein kan she'elo. There is no question at all. She'dafke be'eis ha'noira hazois. It's dafke, not despite that we're during the war, but because we're during a war, that's when we need to be mischazik in limud Torah, as he writes it so beautifully. When there's a fire, you've got to put it out with water. Ve'in mayim elo Torah. And then he quotes our Gemara. He says, you see, the Klal Yisrael are waging a war, and what was the Malach's criticism against him? Why are you not learning Torah? And Yeshua's response immediately was, melamed shelon b'umka shel halacha, b'umka. So that's what he writes. Both very, very fascinating. Both two Gedolei Yisrael, both write in their introduction exactly the same thing. They both published their Sfarim, at least one of the volumes, during the Second World War. They both write that you might think that this is a strange time now to be publishing a sefer, and they both write to the contrary. This is the perfect time to publish a sefer. And one of them, Rabbi Zalman, quotes our Gemara. You see, the Malach came to Yeshua and says, "You're fighting a war. That's not a time to be mevatel Torah. To the contrary, that's a time that you should be mechazik your limud Torah." And indeed, Yeshua took the message, as we just saw in our Gemara, Melamed Shelon. He lodged beumka shel halacha, in the depths of halacha. So, of course, this is very, very topical. I don't want to get involved in a political discussion now. This is not a political platform. But we do know that every war in the history of Klal Yisrael was always waged on two fronts. There was always the hishtadlus in a physical manner, and no less important, in a spiritual manner. If you remember the psukim in the Torah, it says, Elef lamata, elef lamata. 1,000 per tribe, 1,000 per tribe. Why did it need to write it twice? So Chazal say, Elef lamata, 1,000 soldiers went to the battlefield, and another 1,000 remained behind, and they davened and learned in the Beis HaMedrash. So therefore, this is, of course, very, very timely. At a time when, unfortunately, tragically, we're still in the midst of a war on various fronts. So it must be that the hishtadlus on the part of Klal Yisrael is both in the physical fashion, soldiers fighting in the front line, but no less important, maybe even more important, who are those who are fighting in the front line, meaning in the yeshivas and the kollelim, and us who are learning every morning, trying to be makpid be'ezus Hashem every single day. That is being lon be'umka shel halacha, and that's an absolute, integral, indispensable part of Klal Yisrael's war effort. Yes, Reb Larry.
So Yeshua had 14 wars. What was Yericho, one, the first one, or was Yericho in the
Yes,
middle?
quite right.
So did he learn from this incident to
Yes.
say that in the rest of the 13 wars he was makpid to learn?
Right, clearly so, yeah. You know, my second son, who Baruch Hashem got married just over a year ago, he got married to a girl called Wolfson, whose father is a Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. It's commonly known as Yeshivas Wolfson. There are two Rosh Yeshivas there. One is my Mechutner, Rav Wolfson, and one is his partner, Rav Neuwirth. Rav Neuwirth is the son of the very famous Rav Neuwirth, the author of Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchaseh. My son got married, as mentioned, just over a year ago. It was just after Sukkos, a year ago, shortly after the outbreak of the war. In fact, the chasna was in Bnei Brak, and in the middle of the chuppah, the siren, air raid siren, went off. Al kol ponim, Yeshivas Wolfson is a very, very large yeshiva. There are over 1,000 bochrim learning there. The Rosh HaYeshiva, meaning not my mechutn, but his shutuf, got a call, personal call, from one of the top army generals, and said to him as follows: "We have noticed, and in the beginning we didn't have any way of explaining it, that unfortunately there were casualties in the early hours of the night, between 2 and 4 o'clock in the morning. More casualties then than any other hours. And we didn't really have an obvious way of explaining it. It's not because it's darker then, it's just as dark as 1 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning." And the army general said to the Rosh Hashiva, "We have come to the clear, inescapable conclusion that in the Olam HaYeshivas, it is at those hours that clearly there are less Torah learning. There are Bochrim who stay up late to learn, maybe 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, but pretty much by 2 o'clock, they're all in bed. Those who go to bed early, they get up early, so maybe after 4 or 5, they're early learning. So between 2 and 4, those are the hours that there are either no or very little Torah learning in the yeshivas." And therefore, he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, "I'm asking as a personal request, please could you try and be mechazik the limud Torah during those hours?" So an army general clearly saw that together with the hishtadlus on the front line, the soldiers, it goes together absolutely side by side with limud Torah. And when the limud Torah was weakened, well, clearly there was less siyata d'shmaya, and unfortunately there were casualties. The interesting postscript to that story is that the Rosh Yeshiva was in a bit of a conundrum. Because on the one hand, yes, he understands it's absolutely necessary, but on the other, he can't start telling Bokhrim to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They don't go to bed and they won't learn during the day properly. So what he did was he contacted yeshivas in America, Likud and other places, and told them to be mechazik their learning between 2 and 4 a.m. over here is, I don't know, 9 o'clock in the evening in America. So between 9 and 11, or maybe further afield, maybe 7 and 9, whatever it may be. During those hours, he asked the Rosh HaYeshiva, could they be mechazik the learning? No bacha should be out of the basement. Okay,
Right.
back to our Gemara. Omar Shmuel Bar Unia, Mishmei de Rav. So Shmuel says in the name of Rav, Godoil Talmud Torah. Yoiser me'akrovas tamidim. You see, the Talmud Torah is greater than the sacrifice of korbanos. How do you see? Well, obviously, our story. Because there were two criticisms of Klal Yisrael, and the Malach said the main one is the Limud Torah one. Shenemar atobasi. The Malach said quite clearly that of the two criticisms, the main one is the one for ato, the lack of Limud Torah. Okay, says the Gemara, Omar le Abayler of Dimi, Haikra, the following passage that we're about to quote in Mishle, which is rather cryptic, as we're going to see, B'ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, B'ma'arava always means in the west of Bavel, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, how do they learn the following passage? B'mai mukmita lehu. Rav Dimi, by the way, came from Eretz Yisrael. You might have noticed many, many times the Gemara says, he also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, where did he come from? He came from Eretz Yisrael. So Abaye was saying Rav Dimi, he says, tell me, teach me Toiras Eretz Yisrael. By the way, it's very fascinating historically, as we well know. The Gemara was written in Bavel and the Gemara was written in Yerushalayim. We have the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi. But in the main, the halacha goes with the Bavli, and that's the Gemara that we learn. So he asked Rav Dimi, in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, tell me, teach me, how do they learn the following pasuk? How do they learn the following pasuk? It says in the pasuk in Mishlei, Al teitzei l'riv maher. Literally translated, do not go to battle too quickly. Pen, ma ta'aseh ba'achriso. What are you going to do at the end? Behachlim oischa reacha. When your friend embarrasses you, rivcha riv es reavcha v'soid acher al togel. Okay, a very, very, very cryptic pasuk, as are many pasukim in Mishlei. In fact, that's why it's called Mishlei. It's a moshel, can't be taken literally. So, what is this pasuk referring to? So he said, "B'shosh omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYecheskel, Leich emor lohem liYisrael." HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, go and tell Klal Yisrael the following, and this will shed light on the previous pasuk we just quoted in Mishlei. Avicha ho'emoiri ve'imcha chitis. A very strange sounding message that's now relayed to Klal Yisrael. Your father, the Emoiri. Now, what does that mean? Klal Yisrael have a father who's an Emoiri, a goy, and your mother, Chittis. We say in Davening, there's different seven nations, right? Emoiri, Prizi, Kenani, Chitti. Maybe that has something to do with the Chutim at the moment. Either way, very, very strange. Klal Yisrael get this not very glamorous title. Your father is an Emoiri and your mother is a Chitti. What does that mean? Omro Ruach Paskoinis. What is the Ruach Paskoinis? Rashi says it's the Malach Gavriel. The Malach Gavriel says, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, it's unfair. Look quickly at the previous Rashi. Who is the Emiri being referred to over here? What does it mean that Klal Yisrael's father is a goy? Says Rashi, Avicho ha-Emiri, Terach. I'm afraid to say, we have to admit that we all come from Terach. Va'avoisov, Mikna'an bo, they come from Canaan. So they're indeed goyim. So we might not like to acknowledge this fact, but we all come from Canaanite and Emori, the goyim. So when Klal Yisrael are addressed and they said, "Your father is the Emori," that's a reference all the way back to Terach. So look back in the Gemara. Gavriel is not very happy with this. The Ruach Paskoinis, we'll soon see why he's called that, says Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribbono Shel Olam Im Yavoyu Avraham V'Sara. Imagine Avraham V'Sara would all of a sudden show up, the Yamdu Lefonecha, and would stand in front of them. Ata Oimer Lohem, would you say the following to them? Would you say, "Ah, you're the son and you're the daughter of an Emori"? Umachlim Oisom, and you would embarrass them. Rivcho riv esreacho v'soid acher al togel, which was the quote of that pasuk in Mishlei that we were trying to examine. So look at Rashi. Says Rashi, Omra ruach paskoines gavriel ato machlim oisom shata koira oisom emoiri. Right, the Malach, as it were, complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're calling Klal Yisrael the descendants of Goyim, Terach. If Avraham and Sarah would be here, you'd say the same, embarrass them. Says Rashi, v'riv chorivis recho, im yesh lecho loichiach es Yisrael. If you want to give teichacha to Yisrael, hoichichon ba'atzmon. So give them teichacha, don't blame the previous generations. V'soid shel Avraham v'Sarah al togel levazoisom. Don't embarrass now the descendants of Ram and Sarah. Pen ma ta'aseh bevoyom, because what would you do if they would show up of Ram and Sarah of Fanacha v'Omrim ma chatanu? What did we do wrong? Sha'atam achrimina, that you're embarrassing us. So this is the Taina of Gavriel. Why are you giving teichacha to Klal Yisrael, which may well be justified, but why are you giving them teichacha in the form of, "Oh, look who your ancestors are"? A goy, why, if Avraham and Sarah themselves would be here, surely you would not embarrass them like that. So why are you doing so like this? That's what it means. Rivcho rivis reacha, but the soid acher, don't bring in a different fact and embarrass previous generations. So it sounds like a very kavyochol, sharply worded criticism, kavyochol, or taina, that Gavriel has on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you pointing out? If you want to give teichacha to Klal Yisrael, tell them what they're doing wrong. But don't now all of a sudden say, "Ah, oh, you come from Goyim and you come from an Emori and Chiti." So we'll have to see tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, how this conversation is continued.
Rebbe, why is it that in my Rashi column there's no bold letters? Like all these that you're talking about, I don't they don't appear in my Rashi. Like literally from the beginning where it says Diboy Mechaseh, that's the
Right.
last bold letter, and the rest of it is just plain Rashi. Do you have that also?
No, I've got regular bold do a masterful. Not sure.
Did,
Strange. Okay.
if you say, do you have that in your art scroll with it on the Rashi on the end? There's no bold letters.
Rabbi Yosef is on
Not
mute.
a problem. Even on the milk a little bit, I guess.
Rabbi Yosef, does your art scroll
No,
also have no bold letters on the Rashi?
no, no, it has bow
I don't
letters
know.
in a
I'm the only
disunusual
number.
way.
It's all
It's
clean
weird. I don't,
now.
whatever. I
Around
can't even,
two,
I
I
just like
guess.
plain Rashi. I can't,
Let's see what
okay.
happens.
Whatever.
Oh, we'll reconvene tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Square.